Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Libertad y justicia para Oscar López.
So what do Ricky Martin, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and U.S. Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez all have in common? They're all putting pressure on President Obama right now to release Oscar Lopez Rivera, the Puerto Rican nationalist who has been in prison for 32 years for, quote, seditious conspiracy. That was Ricky Martin there at the Latin Grammys last month. Joining me now to talk about the 70-year-old Rivera is Juan Gonzalez, columnist for The Daily News and co-host of Democracy Now! On Pacifica and WBAI. Hi, Juan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Glad to be here.
So Rivera, for people who have never heard this name before, was a leader of the FALN, the Spanish acronym that means the Armed Forces of National Liberation. This group took responsibility for over 100 bombings once upon a time. Remind everybody, what were they after and what was Rivera's role?
Well, the FALN was an organization that had its heyday really in the late 1970s and early 1980s. One of several of a half dozen different Puerto Rican armed resistance groups that have developed fighting for Puerto Rican independence. It's the issue of the status of Puerto Rico has never really been resolved between the United States and the island residents. So every generation, a new movement develops and inevitably has sort of a more violent wing of it, which in this case in the 70s and 80s was the FALN. I think probably their most notorious action was the bombing of Francis Tavern in the early 1970s, where several people were killed. But there were several other bombings that occurred, all because they were insisting that the United States was failing to grant the island of Puerto Rico its right to self-determination and independence. And so this has been following the FALN came the Macheteros later on, and the two groups eventually merged. And so there's been a consistent resistance movement on the island and among Puerto Ricans in the United States to the continued colonial situation that exists between Puerto Rico and the United States. So, and Oscar Lopez Rivera was one of those leaders, at least of the FALN.
And in 1998, Rivera told the Associated Press that he had nothing to do with that particular bombing at Francis Tavern in the 70s. He said, quote, "I, as an individual, would never set out to inflict pain and suffering on any person not identified as my enemy," unquote. But that still sounds like he would bomb somebody who he did identify as an enemy. So what was he convicted of exactly?
Well, interestingly, he was not convicted of actually participating in any of the bombings. He was convicted of seditious conspiracy, of conspiring to overthrow the United States government. And this has been a charge that's been used against the independence movement now, actually going back to the 1930s, when Pedro Albizu Campos and several other nationalist leaders were arrested in 1936 on seditious conspiracy charges and sentenced to federal prison. It's basically
also, I think, another example: Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman in 1995, after the first World Trade Center bombing, convicted of seditious conspiracy without a precise tie to the action.
Right, and this has been basically the charge on which he was convicted. And he, like several other FALN members, have claimed that they never sought in their independence actions to harm innocent civilians. Although clearly, they had no problem with either attacking members of the U.S. military or in some cases police officers, because there were some bombings at police headquarters even here in New York City. So there's no doubt that they were involved in violent acts, or the organization was. The issue is, were they, as Nelson Mandela was — we're all celebrating now Nelson Mandela, commemorating his life and his achievements — but he at one point was considered by the South African government and by the United States government a terrorist for participating in armed actions for an end to apartheid in his own country.
And one might think that the death and the celebration now of Nelson Mandela as such a reconciler from his time in prison and beyond might make it harder for Obama to grant a pardon to Oscar Lopez Rivera. But here's a clip of South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu, obviously a close ally of Mandela through all of that in South Africa and one of the Nobel Prize winners, Peace Prize winners, who has urged President Obama to pardon Rivera. Here's Desmond Tutu.
After more than 30 years, Oscar Lopez Rivera is imprisoned for the crime of seditious conspiracy, conspiring to free his people from the shackles of imperial injustice.
And we've seen other advocates make a direct link between Rivera's incarceration and Nelson Mandela's 27-year incarceration in South Africa, as you were just referring to. Do you think you can defend that view? I know Nelson Mandela did take part in a some violent armed resistance, but one could certainly say that the South African oppression was much more extreme than what's happening in Puerto Rico, that the two really maybe are not equivalent.
Well, I think one of the things that you have to understand is because this has been a long-running dispute, the status of Puerto Rico, we've had numerous examples in the past of presidents pardoning nationalists involved in violent acts. President Truman in the early 50s commuted the sentences of several Nationalist Party members. Then in 1979, President Jimmy Carter pardoned four Puerto Rican nationalists that were involved in attacks on the U.S. Congress and the White House. And Oscar Collazo, Lolita Lebron, they were pardoned in 1979. Then the third group of pardons came from President Clinton in 1999, when actually Oscar Lopez Rivera was offered a pardon then. But he turned it down because he did not want to leave two other members of the FALN who would have remained in jail, and because they were all being required to formally renounce the possibility of using violence in the future before they would be released. So he ended up, interestingly, the two that he stayed in jail for, they're out now, and he's still in. He's the last one now after 32 years that is still in jail.
Were they out because they served their time, or did they get presidential pardons?
Well, they eventually served out their time, but he had one of the longer sentences, and so that's why he remains in jail. Plus, he did attempt that, I think, twice during his imprisonment, tried to escape from prison. So they tacked on extra time on his sentences. But the reality is that all the ones that were pardoned in 1999 have gone on to be productive members of the society in Puerto Rico and here in the United States, and so the argument for keeping him, he's 70 years old now, he's been in jail for more than 32 years, is really one of vengeance more than anything else, because he really is sort of in the twilight of his life now, and the question of whether he should spend the rest of his life in prison when people. Again, he was not convicted of actually participating in any acts that killed people, I think is really, it's why you have such a cross-section of the Puerto Rican society now, from pro-statehooders, the most conservative, to the most liberal, all calling for President Clinton to President Obama to pardon him.
Maybe he'll ask President Clinton to explain it for him.
Not only President Clinton, but Hillary Clinton, who knows the subject well, since she was involved in some controversy as to
working
whether she was.
Let me come back to Hillary. Yes, and let me come back to the Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton conflict over this in a second. After I invite anybody for whom Oscar Lopez Rivera is on your radar screen, pro, con, or ambivalent about a presidential pardon for him, 212-433. WNYC, as we talk to Daily News columnist and Democracy Now! Host Juan Gonzalez, 212-433-9692, if you want to call in on this. Right. So, you know, I had forgotten about this, but after someone reminded me about it this morning, because we were going to do this segment, I thought, oh, yeah, I guess I did hear that at the time and thought about it for about 30 seconds, that when President Clinton was offering this pardon to Oscar Lopez Rivera in 1999, Hillary Clinton, who was then starting to mount her campaign for the Senate for the first time from New York State, kind of came out against it, didn't she?
Well, she initially came out for it. Then when she realized that several of the prisoners were refusing to renounce violence, she then urged the White House or urged her husband not to grant the pardons. And so she changed her stance in the middle. And a lot of people thought she was doing it more to improve her chances in her election to the U.S. Senate. But she did initially come out for the pardons and then finally came out against them.
Does Rivera renounce violence today?
I don't think he has, but I think effectively, you know, when you're over 70 years old, it's really to my mind not a meaningful distinction, because it's he's basically a person, like I said before, in the twilight of his life. He's basically become a very prolific artist while in prison, and still someone who's been a model example to the other prisoners where he is. I think he's in Terre Haute in Indiana these days. So I think that I don't think he has yet renounced violence.
Let's take a phone call. Jeff in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Basically, I want to say two separate things. Number one, there is no issue of independence for Puerto Rico. When I say no issue, they've had statewide elections, I believe three of them, and overwhelmingly, approximately 95% of the people who live in Puerto Rico, not people living in the Bronx or Manhattan or Brooklyn, 95% of the people either vote for statehood or commonwealth. The independence movement is a sham. It's less than 5% of the voters of the island. That's
well,
one point.
Beside the point, though, of whether somebody deserves a pardon.
You said it yourself. This gentleman refuses to denounce terrorist tactics. He refuses to say that terrorism is not a reasonable thing to do. So if 95% of the people of the island of Puerto Rico say they want to either be a state or a commonwealth, he represents 5% and says, no, we're going to have independence, even if I have to go around killing people. Remember, they tried to assassinate President Truman. So this is not a nice group of people who just bombed Francis Tavern. They also tried to kill the President of the United States.
Jeff, I'm going to leave it there. On his second point, Juan, if President Obama is considering this pardon and there's pushback in this age of terrorism that's still ongoing of other sorts, for people to say, you know, they push back by saying, wait, here's a guy in prison who still has not renounced violence. That's hard to overlook, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt that is something that has to be considered. But I want to make a clear distinction when I think that my understanding is Oscar Lopez Rivera has not renounced the need to use violence to win independence for Puerto Rico. He has made clear that he's opposed to terrorism, which is the indiscriminate attacks on innocent civilians. And I think that he's made that clear in his statements all the time he's been in prison. The reality, again, I want to emphasize, we are now, the world is celebrating and commemorating the life of Nelson Mandela, who up until 2005 was still on the United States terrorist watch list, long after he'd been freed from prison. The reality is, in a lot of colonial situations, including in South Africa and in Namibia and in other countries in Africa, people had to resort to violence to end their colonial situation. Now, the question of what the percent of people in Puerto Rico that still believes in the need for independence is a subject that we could have an hour-long discussion here on what is happening in Puerto Rico and what the beliefs of the people in Puerto Rico are right now.
And we have in the past with other guests.
There's always been an independence movement, a very strong independence movement on the island.
Derek on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hello, Derek.
Hi. I'd just like to know the timing of Mr. Rivera's conviction. I was a survivor of the last bombing of the Puerto Rican Liberation Movement in Pennsylvania Station, Penn Station. That was either in 79 or 80 when they put a bomb in the lockers there, and it missed me by about 3 to 5 minutes, as I recall. That was on the wall that would be next to what is now the men's bathroom, and just opposite what used to be the Iron Horse Bar, which is now the customer service area, I think, for Amtrak.
Okay.
Since Carter gave the pardon, you say in 79, which I vaguely remember, I'm thinking, did Mr. Rivera's conviction happen after Carter gave the pardon? Because I thought that added to the
yes.
circumstances.
No. President Carter actually pardoned the nationalists who attacked Congress and who attempted to kill President Truman. They attempted that in 1950 and the other three in 1954. They're the ones that were pardoned by President Carter.
No, what I'm saying is did he pardon? And then there was a bombing after the pardons were given.
Yeah, but that was a completely different group of people. It was another generation. The ones who were arrested in the 1980s, which is the part is the one that Oscar Lopez Rivera was a part of, the FALN. It was a completely different group, a different generation of Puerto Rican
right.
independence activists.
So they were
largely arrested in the early 80s.
Derek, does your experience lead you to a position on a pardon for Rivera today?
I am somewhat conflicted, quite frankly, because it happened so close to me. I could have been a victim, although that bombing I don't think actually hurt anybody, because the corridor I used was very infrequently used. They used to call it the mugging hall when I got here. That was a nickname they gave it. I'm a little bit conflicted, but I'm a survivor. I mean, I was in the Three Mile Island Evacuation Center during the crisis there.
Wow.
And I was on my way to the World Trade Center to take a job when the first planes hit. So
you're
I'm
like Forrest Gump. History follows you around no matter where you go.
And unscathed.
Derek, I'm glad you're unscathed, and I'm glad you called in. Thank you very much. I guess President Obama, this is pardon season. This is why it's coming up now, right? These things tend to happen right around New Year's. Juan?
Yes, it is. But my suspicion is that President Obama will not act on any pardon request this year, because obviously there's an election coming up for Congress next year, and he doesn't want this to become
right.
an issue. I would think it's more likely that he might act on this or any other pardon request in his last 2 years as president.
And I just want to mention one other thing on a completely other topic before you go. You and I both lost a colleague to early death recently, Elaine Rivera, who I don't have to tell you is a fabulous urban affairs reporter here at WNYC and before that for newspapers and more recently teaching journalism students at Lehman College. She passed away last month at just 54 years old, to the shock of many of us. She was fun and serious at the same time and so dedicated to reporting the stories of people whose stories don't often get told, sort of in the spirit of what we see and people keep talking about on the show today of, you know, what's on the cover of the New York Times today. She made a career out of it. And I see that you're involved with setting up a scholarship fund at Lehman College in her memory, and I just want to know if you want to say a word about Elaine Rivera.
Yes, well, Elaine was a friend of mine for more than 30 years, and she was a kindred spirit. I call her. She was an incredibly good reporter and a complete advocate of those of the voiceless and getting stories told that no one else wanted to cared about reporting about. And she is going to be really missed. And at a memorial service on Saturday, I was really struck by the number of students of hers was at Lehman who were really touched by the work she did as a teacher. And that's why I think Lehman has stepped forward, and many of us are trying to help preserve her legacy and the memory of the enormous work that she did by creating a scholarship in journalism at Lehman College to be given to young people every year. And so that, yes, we're doing all we can to keep the memory of Elaine Rivera alive for years and years to come.
And that's great. And she, for her short time at WNYC, before she left to teach, she made such an impression on our newsroom. We were shocked at the loss, and both in her reporting and in just being the wonderful, fabulous, warm human being that she was. So we all mourn the loss of Elaine Rivera. And we will go out with some music from Calle 13, the Grammy Award-winning Puerto Rican group. The lead singer was part of the November march across the Williamsburg Bridge for the other Rivera, No Relations, release. And we thank Juan Gonzalez from the Daily News and Democracy Now. Juan, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Tengo los mejores paisajes del cielo. Tengo una neverita repleta de cerveza con hielo. Un arco iris con sabor a piragua. Gente bonita rodeada por agua. Los difuntos pintados en la pared con aerosol. Y los que quedan jugando basquetbol. Un par de gringos que me dañan el paisaje. Vienen tirando fotos desde el aterrizaje. La policía que se tira sin pena, rompiendo mi casa pa' cobrar la quincena. Aquí nació mi ma y hasta mi bisabuela está en mi barrio. Yo soy libre como Mandela. Cuidado con la vieja escuela, que no te coja, que te va a meter con...